must have felt, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. You don't understand that picture if you don't know what a goad is. A goad was a very sharp stick that one who was driving cattle or livestock would use to poke them in the back of the rear legs to get them going. And a cow or a horse, for example, wants to kick. It's not too good of an idea to kick against that goad. It's just going to make it worse. And so Jesus says to Saul, "You're going the wrong direction, my man. You're kicking against the goads. You're persecuting me, Jesus, the I Am." Saul, trembling and astonished, "What do you want me to do?" That certainly seems to match his typical Pharisee approach. "Well, there must be something I have to do. I got to get Jesus off my back. And what do I have to do, Lord?" Trembling and astonished, the Lord says to Saul, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." And the word "must" is really there, the things that you must do. But not in the sense that Jesus is giving Saul an assignment and he must do this to get himself to heaven. Jesus was already crucified on the cross for Saul's sins, for the sins of the world, for yours and for mine. But this would be Saul's assignment in life, one that he must do, but not one that he would carry out, "Oh, I suppose I have to do this. I got to do this. This is what God's making me do." It's a role that he would carry out willingly and gladly. So it's the assignment God was going to give him. But now have you seen the switch in Saul's shoes? He's no longer wearing the self-righteous, great-looking shoes. Now he's trembling and afraid. Have you ever gotten up in the morning or gone to bed at night and looked back at the day? Some of the words you said, some of the ways you disappointed your family, your church, your pastor, your Lord. And it's, "Woe is me. I've done wrong. I'm in trouble." You've probably worn those shoes too. They're not very stylish, and they're also killing you. "I'm in trouble. God's mad. God's angry. God's going to get me." That's the shoes Paul is wearing now, and it's going to get worse. He got up, and he couldn't see. He was blind. And here, proud, self-satisfied Saul, who had come to Damascus, "I'm in charge here," had to be led by a hand, like a little child, into Damascus. And there on the inside, imagine the stew pot that was boiling inside. He was there 3 days without sight, and you know there was something going on inside because he neither ate nor drank. You know how it is when you're very distraught, very emotionally disturbed. Food doesn't interest you one bit. That was Saul. I wonder what he was thinking. I have a feeling he's thinking, "I'm wrong. I was so sure I was right. I was sure, so sure I was doing everything to please God. I was so sure Jesus was a fake, a bad man, an imposter. I was wrong. My whole life has been wrong. What a waste it's been. I'm wrong. I'm wrong. And man, am I in trouble. Jesus lives. And he knows me. He knows what I'm doing. He's going to get me. And I'm in trouble." For 3 days, Saul was stewing. Maybe you've worn those shoes too, a little bit different from the ones, I'm in trouble, but now I'm lost. I'm hopeless. Those shoes, too, get you nowhere. But we're not done, are we? The whole incident of Ananias, we could preach a sermon just on that, but God told Ananias, a believer, You go to find this man Saul on Straight Street at a house of a man named Judas, and I want you to go to him, approach him. I've let him know that you're coming, and I want you to return his sight to him, and I want you to share with him what he's going to do for me. And Ananias had his own misgivings, didn't he? I don't know, I've heard about this man named Saul. But the Lord assured him, you go. Ananias went. Notice his approach, Brother Saul. He didn't come in with fear, like, I think Saul's still going to get me. Nor did he come in lording it over him. Man, you really got yours. Now we're going to tell you what the score really is. Brother Saul. Ananias, from the depth of love in his heart for the Savior who had saved him, and for the depth of love in his heart for a lost soul named Saul, Ananias says, Brother Saul. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Saul did receive his sight. Something like scales fell from his eyes. Saul did receive the Holy Spirit, who pointed him to Jesus, not as his enemy anymore, the one who was going to get him, but as his Savior, the one who loved him, the one who was his best friend. And Saul arose and was baptized. This incident of Saul's conversion is recorded three times in the gospel, in the book of Acts. And in chapter 26, where Paul himself is retelling it, he says how Ananias said, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." What wonderful words of refreshment and joy that must have been for Saul. Yeah, Ananias says, "The Lord knows all about you, but he's concerned. He loves you. Your sight is back. Now arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." All Saul's past, all his unworthiness, all his belligerence against Jesus washed away in the waters of baptism, which is a washing of regeneration into the salvation which Jesus has won for all the world, a washing in the Holy Spirit. Saul was baptized. You stand in those shoes too. You've been baptized in Jesus' name. And every day when you get up or when you go to bed, I'm a baptized child of God through Jesus. The sins of the day, the sins I committed in weakness, the sins I committed without even knowing it, the sins I committed on purpose, I can come before Jesus in all humility, and in his blood, the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. In the blood of Jesus, I am washed clean. Those are some wonderful shoes to wear. They might not be so very stylish that all the world looks at you and says, "Oh yeah, that's something really great," but they're very comfortable. And they're very good for you. They're shoes that are not going to kill you, because in Jesus, you have life forever in heaven. And now Saul even wears yet a different pair of shoes. He stays in Damascus and begins to be a messenger of the Christ that he was persecuting. He preaches in the synagogues, and all who heard him are amazed, and he grows in strength and confounds the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. Those shoes are also yours and mine, not just to feel the joy and the comfort and the peace for ourselves, but to share that comfort with those around us, family members, friends, neighbors, but I think particularly of family. I know, you know, it's easy to feel, well, I'm not a gifted person to tell others about Jesus. Well, you can lead them to God's Word, to the congregation where they hear God's Word, to the pastor who is able to explain things a little better, but you can lead them to Jesus, and he will explain all things. But lead them to Jesus. Be a missionary, because Christ is the center of Scripture. You know, it's easy sometimes to think, well, yeah, I mentioned to my neighbor that he should go to a church, that she should believe in God. How much help is that, though? You need to point them to Jesus, like Saul was doing, proving that Jesus is the Christ. Well, you're maybe not a gifted speaker or can't relate to someone very thoroughly the good things of the gospel, but point them to Jesus. And so, in church, it's easy for a pastor, a time or two, to have a sermon. Maybe it's about, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. And so it's a sermon to, yep, don't be lazy. You got to get going. You got to work. I remember I preached a sermon like that one time. And I got all done and I knew it. And my best critic also knew it. And she said, wasn't much gospel in that sermon, was there? There wasn't much about Jesus in that sermon, was there? She was right. If you're hearing a sermon preached, whether it's at your church or on the radio or you're visiting some other church, and there's nothing about Jesus, your Savior, it really misses the point. And I like to apply that very same thing to the daily devotions that we read and have in our homes. They can be understood aright if there's a devotion that doesn't say anything about Jesus, because we know about Jesus. But to me, if that devotion says nothing about Jesus the Savior in one way or another, brings in the good news, the gospel, it's really missed the point. We don't want to be un-missionaries. We want to be missionaries wearing those shoes that are comfortable for us, that enable us to run the race of sharing the gospel, and really I should say not just sharing it, proclaiming it. That's what we do. We proclaim the gospel because it's a done deal. Jesus has won that forgiveness already. God has already, well, you learned it as objective justification. God has declared the world not guilty in Jesus, reconciling the world to himself. He doesn't just have forgiveness for those who follow him. There is forgiveness already pronounced for the whole world, and we proclaim that. And yes, those who walk away from it are not going to share in it. But it's a done deal. It's a fact. And that's the shoes that we are privileged to wear. Sinners, condemned, helpless, killing ourselves, but forgiven in Jesus, washed clean in Jesus, and then able to share and proclaim that message to those around us. There is good news for all. Bless your mission celebration as you go home, as you go about your life this week or this month or this year, built on Christ, your only Savior from sin. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.